You're listening to All Things Cage at Waveform's WGXC 90.7 FM, Radio for Open Ears. I'm your host, Laura Kuhn, director of the John Cage Trust, and tonight we'll be listening to an extraordinary performance of Cage's Lecture on the Weather, which I directed for a John Cage Trust production at Bard College on September 28th, 2007, to commemorate the John Cage Trusts having gone into residential placement at Bard College earlier that year. We've referenced this work before on All Things Cage, most recently in a program marking the 20th anniversary of 9/11. In that program, we were interested in looking at Cage's prescience and his aspirational thought, and we focused our attention on the ideas that were being expressed both in the performer's parts, derived from Thoreau's writings, as well as in Cage's preface. We also took a look at a much earlier text work, Cage's Other People Think, which he wrote and delivered in 1927, representing Los Angeles High School at the Southern California Oratorical Society at the Hollywood Bowl in his native Los Angeles. Cage's essay was a striking critique of U.S. relations with Latin America. This evening, we're going to listen to Lecture on the Weather in its entirety, inclusive of its preface, and as performed by a stellar cast. But first, some refresher background. John Cage became best known for his use of chance operations, a compositional practice which emanated in the very early 1950s out of his study of Eastern philosophies and especially Zen Buddhism. It was a compositional practice with a strong spiritual and philosophical basis. Cage used chance procedures as a means toward self-discovery, of overcoming his own tastes and biases and habits. But he also used chance as a means of discovering, both in himself and in those for whom he composed, how one might become more genuinely useful in the world, to oneself, to others, and to the larger complex environment that was, for him, the second half of the 20th century. John Cage's Lecture on the Weather from 1975 is comprised of materials for an unconducted radio broadcast or theatrical performance with sounds of breeze, rain, and thunder, and a film representing lightning by means of briefly projected negatives of drawings by Henry David Thoreau. It was commissioned by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation in observance of the bicentennial of the United States of America, and was composed in collaboration with Louis Frangella, film, and Marianne Amiche, weather sounds. Originally, it was to be performed by 12 expatriate American men who had left the country during the Vietnam War. And after Cage's reading of his preface, the performers begin, variously intoning text fragments, with or without the ad-lib playing of instruments, from the journals of Henry David Thoreau. In part one, this is accompanied by sounds of wind, and in part two by sounds of rain. In a theatrical setting, in part three, the lights in the hall begin to dim, and the performers are joined on stage by sounds of thunder, along with the projection of Frangella's film, which consists of drawings by Thoreau printed in negative, the erratic and dramatic projection of which resembles lightning or white on black. The performers agree prior to performance on a total duration of the work ranging from at least 22 minutes and 45 seconds, which is 5 times 4 minutes and 33 seconds, to a maximum of 36 minutes and 24 seconds, which is 8 times 4 minutes and 33 seconds. Each performer creates his or her own program of chance-determined materials, as well as his or her own starts and stops. Hence, no two performances of this work will ever be quite the same. In some respects, Lecture on the Weather is an atypical work for Cage in its overtly political tone. It came about as a commission from the CBC in 1975, which wanted to work in observance of America's bicentennial. Cage chose to create a piece that would engage as performers 12 expatriate American men who had settled in Canada during and shortly after the Vietnam War. As you will hear in his preface, which begins any performance, Cage used this work as an opportunity to articulate his dissatisfaction with American government. His observations are noteworthy, both for the sentiments expressed, prescient and still timely from our current perspective, but also that he said them out loud. By the end of his life, Cage didn't really favor critical response, preferring instead composition. If you don't like something, the proper response, in his view, would be to make something better. But Cage's preface to Lecture on the Weather is not the only place a political statement is being made. What Cage also did, here and elsewhere, was to embed political ideas into the very forms and practices of his composition. Lecture on the Weather, like virtually all of his works from the 1950s forward, was conceived through a variety of chance means, and it comprises a delicate balance between so-called law elements and freedom elements. That is to say, law elements where it was felt they were needed, freedom elements everywhere else. The performance we'll hear in tonight's recording comprise a stellar mix of longtime Cage friends and collaborators and our new Bard colleagues, who ranged from its president, Leon Botstein, to student musicians from both the Conservatory of Music and the music program within the Department of Music. The roster is as follows, in alphabetical order. John Ashbery, Leon Botstein, Casey Brazo, Merce Cunningham, Sage Fuller Coles, Ari Fenton, Daniel Fishkin, John Kelly, Gary Kvistad, Robert Martin, Sean Patrick Moore, Michael Rouse, John Ralston Saul, Tristan Shepherd, Richard Teitelbaum, and Zeke Ferrant. My own life partner, Ralph Benko, served as understudy for them all. It might be noted that Jasper Johns looms large in this realization, starting us off in the most extraordinary manner. His comprehensive retrospective, Mind Mirror, is currently on view at two partnering venues, the Philadelphia Museum of Art and the Whitney Museum of American Art in New York. Both run until February 13, 2022. Also with us was Marianne Amiche, who created live and anew the simulated weather sounds just as she had for the original 1976 production in Canada. Amiche was long on faculty at Bard College. She passed away in 2009. Her close friend and collaborator, the Brazilian artist Luis Frangella, was represented only by his film, as he had passed away in 1990, an early victim of AIDS. Joan Retallick, also long on faculty at Bard College, whose important Music Cage, Cage Muses on Words, Art, Music, comprised of Conversations with John Cage, was published by Wesleyan University Press in 1996, served as dramaturg. Well, I hope to have Joan Retallick as a guest on All Things Cage soon. Suffice it to say here that she has lectured widely and published many other essays on the work of Cage, with particular attention to the relation of his experimental attitude to developments in 20th century science, utopian aesthetics, and global sociopolitics. She has served as dramaturg for multiple performances of Cage's Lecture on the Weather. Her visual constructions and word compositions have been shown and performed in many venues, including the Guggenheim Soho, in association with Cage's Roly Holy Over a Circus, the Corcoran Gallery of Art, and the Philadelphia Museum of Art, among others. It's always a great privilege to work with her. Now, on to Lecture on the Weather.
The first thing I thought of doing in relation to this work was to find an anthology of American aspirational thought and subject it to chance operations. I thought the resultant complex would help to change our present intellectual climate. I called up Dover and asked whether they published such an anthology. They didn't. I called a part of Columbia University concerned with American history and asked about aspirational thought. They knew nothing about it. I called the information desk of the New York Public Library at 42nd Street. The man who answered said, "You may think I'm not serious, but I am. If you're interested in aspiration, go to the Children's Library on 52nd Street." I did. I found that anthologies for children are written by adults. They're what adults think are good for children. The thickest one was edited by Commager, Documents of American History. It is a collection of legal judgments, presidential reports, congressional speeches. I began to realize that what is called balance between the branches of our government is not balance at all. All the branches of our government are occupied by lawyers. Of all professions, the law is the least concerned with aspiration. It is concerned with precedent, not with discovery, with what was witnessed at one time in one place, and not with vision and intuition. When the law is corrupt, it is corrupt because it concentrates its energy on protecting the rich from the poor. Justice is out of the question. That is why not only aspiration, but intelligence, as in the work of Buckminster Fuller, and conscience, as in the thought of Thoreau, are missing in our leadership. Our leaders are concerned with the energy crisis. They assure us they will find new sources of oil. Not only will Earth's reservoir of fossil fuels soon be exhausted, their continued use continues the ruin of the environment. Our leaders promise they will solve the unemployment problem. They will give everyone a job. It would be more in the spirit of Yankee ingenuity, more American, to find a way to get all the work done that needs to be done without anyone's lifting a finger. Our leaders are concerned with inflation and insufficient cash. Money, however, is credit. And credit is confidence. We have lost confidence in one another. We could regain it tomorrow by simply changing our minds. Therefore, even though the occasion for this piece is the bicentennial of the USA, I have chosen to work again with the writings of Henry David Thoreau. Those excerpts which are used were not selected to stress any particular points, but were obtained by means of E. King chance operations from Walden, from the Journal, and from the Essay on Civil Disobedience. Thoreau lived not 200 years ago, but for 44 years only, beginning 159 years ago. In 1968, I wrote as follows: "Reading Thoreau's journal, I discover any idea I've ever had worth its salt." In 1862, Emerson wrote, "No truer American existed than Thoreau. If he brought you yesterday a new proposition, he would bring you today another, not less revolutionary." In 1929, Gandhi wrote that he had found the Essay on Civil Disobedience so convincing and truthful that as a young man in South Africa preparing to devote his life to the liberation of India, he had felt the need to know more of Thoreau, and so had studied the other writings. In 1958, Martin Luther King Jr. wrote these words: "As I thought further, I came to see that what we were really doing was withdrawing our cooperation from an evil system, rather than merely withdrawing our economic support from the bus company. The bus company, being an external expression of the system, would naturally suffer, but the basic aim was to refuse to cooperate with evil. At this point, I began to think about Thoreau's essay on civil disobedience. I remembered how, as a college student, I had been moved when I first read this work. I became convinced that what we were preparing to do in Montgomery was related to what Thoreau had expressed. We were simply saying to the white community, we can no longer lend our cooperation to an evil system. On December 8, 1859, Thoreau himself wrote as follows. 200 years ago is about as great an antiquity as we can comprehend or often have to deal with. It is nearly as good as 2,000 to our imaginations. It carries us back to the days of Aborigines and the Pilgrims, beyond the limits of oral testimony, to history which begins already to be enameled with a gloss of fable, and we do not quite believe what we read, to a strange style of writing and spelling and of expression, to those ancestors whose names we do not know and to whom we are related only as we are to the race generally. It is the age of our very oldest houses and cultivated trees, nor is New England very peculiar in this. In England also, a house 200 years old, especially if it be a wooden one, is pointed out as an interesting relic of the past. I have wanted in this work to give another opportunity for us, whether of one nation or another, to examine again, as Thoreau continually did, ourselves, both as individuals and as members of society, and the world in which we live, whether it be concord in Massachusetts, or discord in the world, as our nations apparently, for their continuance, as though they were children playing games, prefer to have it. It may seem to some that through the use of chance operations, I run counter to the spirit of Thoreau and 76 and revolution for that matter. The fifth paragraph of Walden speaks against blind obedience to a blundering oracle. However, chance operations are not mysterious sources of the right answers. They are a means of locating a single one among a multiplicity of answers, and at the same time of freeing the ego from its taste and memory, its concern for profit and power, of silencing the ego so that the rest of the world has a chance to enter into the ego's own experience, whether that be outside or inside. I have given this work the proportions of my silent piece, which I wrote in 1952, though I was already thinking of it earlier. When I was 12, I wrote a speech called Other People Think, which proposed silence on the part of the USA as preliminary to the solution of its Latin American problems. Even then, our industrialists thought of themselves as the owners of the world, of all of it, not just the part between Mexico and Canada. Now our government thinks of us also as the policemen of the world, no longer rich policemen, just poor ones, but nonetheless on the side of the good and acting as though possessed of the power. The desire for the best and the most effective in connection with the highest profits and the greatest power led to the fall of nations before us. Rome, Britain, Hitler's Germany, those were not chance operations. We would do well to give up the notion that we alone can keep the world in line, that only we can solve its problems. More than anything else, we need communion with everyone. Struggles for power have nothing to do with communion. Communion extends beyond borders. It is with one's enemies also, Thoreau said, "The best communion men have is in silence." Our political structures no longer fit the circumstances of our lives. Outside the bankrupt cities, we live in megalopolis, which has no geographical limits. Wilderness is global park. I dedicate this work to the USA, that it may become just another part of the world, no more, no less.
In literature, it is only the wild that attracts us. Dullness is only another name for tameness. It is the untamed, uncivilized, free, and wild thinking in Hamlet, in the Iliad, and in all the scriptures and mythologies that delight us. Not learned in the schools, not refined and polished by art.
I have contemplated the
imprisonment of a truly good book
rather than the seizure
is something as wildly natural and primitive.
Because they who assert the purest right and consequently are most dangerous
the nature,
to a
I would
corrupt
say
state
that she never recognizes
have not spent much time
the simple heroism
poverty.
Of an action.
In the morning I watched
if there were one who was without the use of money, apparent, the state itself would hesitate to demand it.
Consequence.
But the rich man
it praises the interest and energy like of the Boston Tea Party,
the institution which makes him rich.
But will be comparatively silent
absolutely
about the more bloody
the more
and disinterested
the signal of their
heroic
for
attack
money comes between a man and his
on the Boston courthouse
and it
circled about him, over my head,
and it was certainly no great virtue to obtain it.
And then steered straight to
it
Canada.
Puts to rest many questions which he would otherwise be taxed
the end
to
of
answer.
Several days
to the only new question which
when
it puts
the sky was still
is
completely
the
overcast,
superfluous
the air was
one,
full of mist.
How to
I
spend
observed
it.
The pond was remarkably smooth.
Thus his moral ground was taken
with a regular
process
from the leader.
There were no opportunities of
mysterious
portion of the somber
and marvelous.
Indeed, a considerable
concord
in Virginia today.
The best thing we can do is
afraid of their own
endeavor to carry out.
If one listens to the famous and constant suggestions of his genius, which are certainly true, he sees not to what extreme even insanity is evil, and yet that way,
to turn his views to literature,
his road lies. What the faintest assured objection which one healthy man feels
would he
at length prevail over the arguments and customs of mankind. No man ever followed his genius
fault of all books and
the result were bodily weakness, yet perhaps no one can say that the consequences were to be regretted, for these were life in conformity to higher principles. If the day and the night are such that you greet them with joy, and life is such a fragrance,
I want something speaking in some measure to the condition of muscles and skull.
Your congratulations, and you have caused momentary
as well
to
as work
with
men.
These finest tools, the
and birds fly with song,
not merely
and fancy and
I think
to pining
that I speak
and,
with
and,
bounds,
and
I say
complaining
though the birds of the air
coterie
of
philanthropists
and the savages
against
their
a rainy day.
As
in
every
modern
season seems best
society,
to us in its
not
turn,
more than one half
so
the
coming
family
in of spring is like the creation of cosmic
I live
chaos
alone
to insist
and the realization
on the
of the golden age.
A mile from any neighbor,
wind withheld to
but
a roar in a house
and another the savage
which I had
shelter,
built myself,
and
so
the
ridges
little. Placed
while
under
the civilized
on the shore
hires his
of Walden
was
born.
Perhaps we should never procure
in Concord,
a new suit.
Massachusetts.
However ragged or
and earned my living
cause he cannot
by the labor
afford to
of my hands
only.
Nor can
dirty
he,
the old,
in the long run,
until
any
we
better
have so conducted,
hire,
so enterprised, or sailed in some way that we feel like new men in.
It is a mistake to suppose that in a country where the usual evidences of civilization exist, the condition
and
of
that
a very
to
large
retain
body
it
of the
would
inhabitants
be like
may not be as degraded as that of savages. I refer to the
I lived there 2 years and 2 months.
To know this, I should not need to look farther than to the shanties which
keeping
I have
new wine in.
I am a sojourner in civilized life again.
Old bottles.
All winter with an open I door. Now first
our
began
season, without any visible like that of the
to inhabit my house.
Must be a crisis
in
our
this
lives.
What is true
I
for
may
one,
say,
true still for a thousand, as a large house is not proportionately more
when I began to use it
one, since one
for warmth,
may,
it is hard
as well
to
as shelter.
Cook,
cover
so simple and clean a diet,
and one
as
wall
will not offend the imagination.
I would not talk.
But
for
this,
so
I think, is to be said when we feed the body.
My dwelling,
if
down
there were anybody
same
else,
was small.
Yes, her haps may be done.
I to convince knew
it is not
well.
A reproach that man is a carnivorous
God.
Animal.
And when you have done this,
true, he can and does live.
And I could hardly entertain an echo in it.
As anyone who will go to snaring rabbits or slaughtering lambs may learn, and he will be regarded
I have
as a benefactor.
One November afternoon, on the calm at the end of a rainstorm of several days' duration, when the sky was still completely overcast and the air bubbled,
whatever my own practice may be, I have no doubt
smooth.
That it is
difficult
to distinguish
the truth
of the human race,
though it no longer reflected the brightness of October, but the somber November colors of the stars and veils.
Though
I passed over it as gently as possible,
the
slight undulations produced by my boat extended almost as far as I could see, and gave a ribbed appearance to the reflection
of the world.
But as I was looking over the surface, I saw here and there in the distance a faint glimmer, as if some skater insect which had escaped the frost might be collected there, or perchance the surface being so smooth, it turned where a spring welled up on the bottom. Paddling gently to one of these places, I was surprised to find myself surrounded by myriads of small perch, about 5 inches long, of a rich bronze color in the green water, supporting the air, and constantly rising from the surface of a bit more, sometimes even bubbles on it. And such transparent and silvery bottomless water, reflecting the clouds, it seemed to be floating through the air of an arena, and their swimming impressed me as a kind of flight, or humbling, as if they were a compact block of birds passing just beneath my level on the right or left, and
every family owns a shelter as good as the best,
all around them,
and sufficient for its coarser and simpler wants.
I come to my solitary woodland walk as the homesick go home. I thus dispose of the superfluous and see things as they are, grand and beautiful. I've told many that I walk every day, about half the daylight, but I think they do not believe it.
Chained for life.
I wish to get the Concord,
the
Massachusetts,
tree,
the America, out of my head, and be
a
slave.
What is a country without rabbits?
I think that I speak within bounds when I say that, though the birds of the air have their nests, and the foxes their holes,
ancient
and
the venerable families know to
in modern civilized society, not more than one half of the families own a shelter. I do not mean to insist here on the disadvantage of hiring compared with owning, but it is evident that the savage owns his shelter because
the slave woman and her child between his prison
and
the gallows. The preachers, the Bible men, they who talk about principle and doing to others as you would that they should do unto you, how could they fail to recognize him? By far the greatest preacher of them all, with the Bible on his lips and in his act, the embodiment of principle who actually carried out the golden rule. All his moral senses aroused, who have a calling from on high to preach, decided
I'm assuming
On the day of his translation, I heard for sure that he was hung, but I did not know what that meant, and I felt no sorrow on his account. But not for a day or two did I even hear that he was dead, and not after any number of days did I believe it. All the men who are said to be my contemporaries, it seems to me that John Brown is the only one who has not died. I meet him at every turn. He is more alive than ever he was before. He is not confined to North Elba, Kansas. He is no longer working in secret. John Brown has earned immortality. Men have been hung in the South before for attempting to rescue slaves. The North was not much stirred by it. Whence then is a wonderful difference? You are not so sure of their devotion to Christ. He has made a subtle distinction. Have forgotten the new laws. Come and do homage to an old man. The North is suddenly all transcendental. It goes behind the human law. It goes behind the apparent failure. It recognizes eternal justice and glory. It is more generous in the spirit which actuated our forefathers. The newspapers are the ruling power. On behalf of another and an oppressed
people. What Congress does is an afterclass.
It would be difficult to choose between places.
That bird settles with confidence.
How did he travel? How genuine an experience did he get? For traveling is, in the main, like as if you stayed at home.
Weathercock.
And then the question is, how do you live and conduct yourself at home? What I mean is that it might be hard.
That bird will not be poetry.
To decide whether I would travel to Lake Superior or Labrador or Florida. Perhaps
lays
none would be
no eggs for you.
If I went by the evening. But if I travel in a simple, primitive,
forever
manner,
its
standing
nest.
In a true relation to men and nature, travel away from the old and the commonplace, get some honest experience of life, if only out of my feet and homesickness, and it becomes less important whither I go and how far.
Though willed,
perhaps it is easier
wild.
To live a true and natural life while traveling.
I find it wholesome to be alone
in
its greater part of time.
Some of my pleasures
to be in company even with the best is soon very
even
soon
ice begins with
which
delicate
confined me to the house.
I love to be alone
as if it had flowed into molds.
The universe
the fronds
I never
water
found
slides,
a companion that was so companionable as solitude.
The whole tree itself
the
is
one
of
the most part
time
more
and rivers
when we
are
go
still vaster
men,
leaves whose pulp
when we
is
in our
heavy thunder shower
or some
the
lightning
and
struck
cities.
A large a man
pitch
thinking
of
something is always
making a very
let him be
perfectly
where
regular
he will.
Spiral
as if all
from top
solitude
to bottom,
is not measured by the miles
deep,
of space
and four
that
or five
consistent
a man and his fellows,
as you would groove a walking stick.
The really diligent student in one
I
of the crowded
again
hives
the other day.
Of Cambridge College
was struck with awe.
Walden
is, as
is blue,
as
and beholding that
he
desert.
Has always
now,
a child
at one time.
Where a terrific
farmer
and resistless bull came down
ready for their
all
extermination
years ago,
and green,
then frequently say to me, I should
not
feel lonesome down there,
while
and want to be near to it.
This is a civilization other than
I am tempted to reply to such a
even from the same point of view.
For this American
God, thank
you. Well, the two most distant inhabitants of yonder star, the breadth of whose disk cannot be appreciated by
lying between the earth.
Why should I feel lonely?
And
does not
have a
vanish in the Milky Way.
He does not
realize this, which it seems to me not to be
the
most important question.
What sort of space is that which separates
the
man from his fellows?
I know of what makes him solitary, with whom I can afford to stay. That no
the
the
law came
legs
by thousands of my lodgers to one
another
as to winter clothes, and settled on my dwellings within, and on the walls overhead.
The large sugar maples on the common are at the height of their beauty. And about 10 days ago, all but one of these was quite green, and I thought they would not appear any dark humor.
The color of the sky,
warmer than gold and yellow, is the prevailing color with scarlet cheeks. They are great, regular, oval masses of yellow and scarlet. All the sunny warmth of the city seems to be absorbed in their leaves. There is an auction on the common, but its red flag is hard to be discerned amid its blaze of color.
When I came to build my chimney, I studied
blues next to the bowls of the most delicate yellow and green as usual, like the complexion of young men brought up in the house.
So that I learned more than usual of the
little did the fathers of the town anticipate this brilliant success, and they caused to be embittered to further and eclipse the sun's great bowls with its tops
cut off, which I call the sugar maple tree.
And they were merciful as I remember, by way of jest, planted beans in the
house.
The beans which were then jestingly called bean bowls are these days far the most beautiful objects noticeable in our streets. They are worth all and more than they have cost. The one of the select men did take the coal, which occasioned his death in setting them out, if only because they had filled the open eyes of children with their discovery. So instinctively, so many otters, who will not ask them to yield us sugar in the spring, while they yield us so fair a prospect in the autumn. Wealth may be the inheritance of few in the houses, but it is equally distributed on the common. All children alike need ready golden
harvest.
These things throughout the street, or these people to an annual festival, a holiday, or a week of such, not requiring any special police to keep the peace. And poor indeed must be that New England village of October, which has not been made to make street. This October festival costs no quarter or ringing of bells, but every tree is a liberty horn on which a thousand bright flags are
flying.
Of right. Children's eyes are steadily drinking in this color, and by these teachers, even the truants are caught and agitated the moment they step abroad. Is it if some cheap and less and gala day were celebrated in our town every autumn, a week or two of such things?
Put to it for room.
Coincidentally,
he brought his own knife, though I had two. And we used to scour them
like
by thrusting them into the earth.
Old
then a light
he shared with me the labors of cooking.
Where once
I was
soon
to see my work rising so square,
and
the
they were brought up under the maples. Indeed, neither the truant nor the studious are at present taught colors in the schools. These are some of the bright colors in apothecary shops and city windows. It is a pity we have no more red maples and some hickories in the streets as well. Our paint box is very
important.
Instead of supplying paint boxes, I will supply these natural colors.
The shore.
And him too, to some extent.
I know of one man at least, called an excellent and peculiarly successful farmer, who has thoroughly repaired his house and built a new barn. Which is every farmer seems fated to have,
to the
who has not a single field of
the verdure
of any kind about his house or within a considerable distance of it. No annual training or muster of soldiery, no celebration with its scarfs and medals could import into the town a hundredth part of the annual splendor of our October.
And in the spring,
we have only to set the trees or let them stand, and
before the leaves
the
are expanded,
flags of all her nations, some of whose
and it may be simply
the botanist can read.
The result of the prevailing blue.
Let us have a good
blue
many maples and hickories and scarlet oaks,
mixed.
Then, I say. Plays away. Shall that dirty roll
with
of
the yellow
gunhouse be all the colors that the village can display?
The sun.
A village is not complete unless it has these trees to mark the season in it. They are as important as a town clock. Such a village will not be found to work well. It has a screw loose. An essential part is wanting. Let us have willows for spring, elms for summer, maples and walnuts and sugar loaves for autumn. evergreens for winter, and oaks for all seasons. What is a gallery in a house to a gallery in the streets? I think that there is not a picture gallery in the country which would be worth so much to us as is the western view under the elms of our main streets. They are the frame to a picture, and we are not in a dilemma of the Irishman who, having bought a costly gilt picture frame at an auction, found himself obliged to buy a picture at private sales to put into it. For our picture is already painted with each sunset behind us. An avenue of elms as large as our largest and 3 miles long would seem to lead to some admirable place, though only conquered. We're at the end of it. Such a street as I have described would be to the traveler, especially in October, which is ever-changing panorama.
I have lost some self-respect.
A village needs these innocent stimulants of bright and cheery prospects to keep off melancholy and
existence.
Only two villages, one embowered in trees and blazing with all the glories of October, the other a merely trivial and fruitless waste. And I should be sure that in the latter will
where is the spring?
And hardest drinking.
As if a world
the ice being warmed by the heat of the sun,
them,
so exactly
as we do in setting them out,
the
reflected from the bottom, and also transmitted from the air,
which reached their half-century,
melts, bursts,
a century and a half,
and the walls of narrow canals, about the still frozen river.
At least we can do to supply them with suitable
like the rest of our growing plants, when much agitated in clear weather, so that the surface of the waves may reflect the sky at the right angle.
Often running their hands under a leaf and mind with the addition of only their mother's directions,
even the little variety which I use.
But they declined him.
Nor will your approach make them run
they
around and betray themselves.
My fellow citizens,
you may even
was a yielding to the have your demands of appetite
overseer
without
in
discovery.
The courthouse.
He is not only living in the a spring
or living anywhere.
The latter sometimes equaling
of a Harvard college.
And you can see where the first was checked, whether by cold or drought.
I realized
and
that I must
what there was
were in
that
for myself
to produce this check, this blight. So it is with man. Most have a spring growth only, and never get over this first check to their youthful hopes. But
I
plants of hardy constitution, or perchance planted in a more genial soil.
As this business was to be entered into without the usual capital, it may not be easy to conjecture where those means that will still be indispensable to every such undertaking were to be obtained. As for clothing, to come at once to the practical part of the question, perhaps we are led oftener by the love of novelty and a regard for the opinions of men in procuring it, and by a true utility.
Ensure the partridge work is so shy of
the
clothing
is first to retain the vital heat, and secondly in this state of society to cover nakedness, and you may judge how much of any necessary or important work may be accomplished without adding to his wardrobe. Kings and queens who wear a suit at once, though made by some tailor or dressmaker to their majesty, do not know the comfort of wearing a suit in which they are no better than wooden horses to hang in the line of boots. Every day our garments become
more perfected,
and
the mixed with his hands,
until we hesitate to lay them aside, and appear to lay our heads to my song in some such solemnity, even if there is not, no matter what is the moment of my
instrument,
I am sure that there is greater anxiety than normally before it has to be proud. But even if the world is not wounded, much the worst life to crave is in poverty. I sometimes find my acquaintances by such deaths as this. I think there are not only two extra scenes only over the night. Both are made as if I believe that their prosperous little life would be ruined for this to do. It is easier to find a problem to turn with a broken leg or with a broken hand. Often the part of the man is returned to the world.
Whatever my own practice may be, I have no doubt that
I recognize the owner of the farm. He was only a little more weather-beaten than when I saw him last. I have heard of a dog that barked every stranger who approached his master's premises with clothes on. It was easily quieted by a naked thief. It is an interesting question how farmmen would retain their relative rank if they were divested of their clothes. Would you, in such a case, tell Shirley of any company of civilized men which belong to the most respected class? When Madame Pfeiffer in her adventures ceased to rest, she got so near home as busy as a pleasurable, she said that she felt the necessity of wearing other women's bandages when she went to meet the authorities, for she was now civilized and had fallen in judgment.
Which last appeared but bloody in comparison
with the skyline
for the possessor of universal respect.
It is a vitreous
by the greenish roots
so far even the have a missionary
as I remember it.
Besides, closers it is sewing a kind of work which you make
like those patches of a winter sky.
Links.
I do not find myself translating
seen through cloud vistas in the west.
The man I meet with is not often not
before sundown.
The turkey,
wonderful, wonderful is our silence,
and that of our companion.
I cannot but feel as if I could be tamed and as it were emasculated.
How should it become a man?
Would not the motions of those words
that
it
wants, should it be?
To
the state of society,
have been
I am certain not without disgrace.
Is it not a maimed and imperfect nature that
Chinese
I am
or Tartars?
As if I were to study a tribe of Indians that had lost all its warriors. Do not the forest and the meadow now lack expression? Now that I never see nor think of the moose with the lesser force on his head,
we come to bed. Like us,
in the warm,
we know absolutely nothing of the origin and destiny.
All sensuality is one, though it takes many forms. All purity is one. It is the same whether a man eats or drinks or habits or sleeps sensually. They are but one appetite, and we only need to see a person do any one of these things to know how great a sensualism is.
This particular round of natural
that a man may use
I
as simple a diet as the animal
lamentably
and yet
incomplete.
Retain health and strength.
In any weather, at any hour of the day or night, I am anxious to improve the nick of time and notch it on my stick, too. To stand on the meaning of two eternities, the past and future, which is precisely the present moment, that will toe that line to anticipate, not to surprise in the dawn of early
dinner.
The Pittsburgh Railroad touches the pond about 100 miles south of where I dwell.
I used
to go to the village along the
nature
and
related to society by this link. And
because
on the freight train,
she is
not
man.
The whole length of the road and bow to me as to an old acquaintance.
I seek acquaintance
they pass
with
once
nature.
Along
a retreat.
The they take me for an employee. And so I am.
In
her midst, I can be glad. There is no fault so strong which a little gladness may not transgress. I have a room all to myself. It is nature. It is a place beyond the jurisdiction of human governance.
And I reverence them both. I love the grounds, not less than the goods. I like sometimes to take rank holds on rice and spend my day on the animals.
I meant this the Baptist
or its representative state.
We choose and be right.
This is the only time
the beholder knows not
in which that velocity and situation
it will ever resist
I am necessary.
Since its orbit does not look like it returning curve.
Repeat the testimony of many an intelligent
man,
as well as my own convictions, when I say that probably no country has ever ruled
as
a mean a class of tyrants,
it looks as shallow
as the press of this country,
though as intricate
the shore is composed of a belt of smooth, rounded white stones like
paving
and
creton,
except
a
labyrinth of short sand beaches, and it's so steep that in many places a single leap will carry you into water over your head. And were it not for its remarkable transparency, that would be the last to be seen.
And again, it
rose on the opposite side.
It is a pathless
talking with Walcott and Staples today. They declared that John Brown did wrong. When I said that they thought he was right, they agreed in asserting that he did wrong because he threw his life away, and that no man had a right to undertake anything which he knew would cost him his life. I inquired if Christ did not foresee that he would be crucified if he preached such doctrines as he did, but they both, those who were their only statement, asserted that they did not believe that he did. Of course, they as good as said that if Christ had foreseen that he would be crucified, he would have
to take Pickerel and Perch.
Come
wild
to place
who instinctively follow other fashions and trust other
the world of his race
their townsmen,
should
and
find
by their goings
them
and comings stitch towns together in parts where else they would be ripped.
But how free and
they
honorable
sit
ground
and eat their luncheon in stout Fergonauts on the dry oak leaves
not
on the
with
shore,
her,
as wise
but against
in natural
them.
Lore as the citizen is in artificial.
The
had foreseen that
only house in a slave state
they never consult with
in which a free man
and know and can tell
can
much less than
abide
they have done.
With
the things
honor,
which they practice are said not yet to be known.
If anything,
here is one fishing for pickerel with grown perch for bait. You look into his pair and wonder,
there,
as into a summer
and
pond,
their voices
as if he kept summer locked up
no
at
longer
home or knew where
she
had retreated.
The end of the
how,
state.
How, pray, did he get these in midwinter?
That they would not be
oh,
as
he got worms out of rotten logs since the ground froze.
Enemy within
and, oh,
its walls.
His life itself passes
they
deeper in nature than the studies of the naturalist penetrate.
Is stronger
himself a subject
than
for the naturalist.
Arrow.
The latter raises the moss and bark gently with his knife in search of insects. The former
and
lays open logs to their core with his axe, and moss
he
and bark
combat
fly far and wide.
Injustice.
He gets his living by barking trees.
But
such a man has some right to fish, and I love to see nature carried out in him. The perch swallows
cast
the grubworm,
whole vote,
the pickerel
swallows
strip
of paper
the perch,
merely, but
the
your whole influence, a minority
so
is purposeless while it conforms to the majority. It is not even a minority then, but it is irresistibly when it closes by its will weight. If the alternatives to keep all just men in prison, in time of war and slavery,
I am not only grateful because
the state
Gaius
will not
and Homer and Christ and Shakespeare have lived, but I am grateful for Minot and Rice
if
and Melvin
a thousand men
and Goodman
were to pay
and Pufford
their tax
men
bill.
I see Melvin
this year,
all
that would not be a,
alone
a
filling his sphere
and bloody
in rusted suit
as it would be
which no other could fill or suggest.
Them and enable the state
he takes up as
to
much room in nature as the most famous.
Cold blood.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.